I believe that my encounter with that grizzly bear was God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, whacking me over the head to say, wake up. You are sleepwalking through your life. Wake up. And I didn't listen to that sign. And so the sign got even worse 30 days later. And I had the panic attacks that then led into anxiety and depression for 18 months. And now I say that was the worst period of my life, but the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm so glad I listened to the signs, because what if I didn't listen to the signs? Would it have turned into a stroke or a heart attack?
My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Welcome back to the show. I'm Will, your host. Some of you may already know that I produce another podcast called Calm, Cool, and Connected, which tackles the challenges of mental health. Well, while researching possible guests for that show, I came across my guest this week here, thanks to her truly inspiring podcast, which I devour immediately in release of each episode. Now, you're probably asking yourself, why then would I be excited to speak to her on this show, since the focus is so different for Calm, Cool, and Connected? Well, as it turns out, during our initial interview for that show, it was revealed that my guest is no stranger to the metaphysical world. During that interview, she teased that she had experienced some remarkable things that people tend to find unbelievable. Well, that's all it took to convince me that she had to come on this show too, and she graciously agreed. She specializes in mindset coaching, specifically focusing on positive mindsets and creating healthy, purposeful lives. I'm thrilled to welcome to the show the host of Bootcamp for the Mind and Soul, Claire Rogers. Claire, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm pleased to be here.
It is an absolute pleasure. As I mentioned in the intro, I do enjoy your show quite a bit. I've not yet listened to the one you released yesterday, so call me a liar on that end, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's in my queue, and I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Awesome.
I guess probably the first thing we need to do is level set, right? Who exactly are you, and how did you come about the creation of Bootcamp for the Mind and Soul?
Certainly. That's a big question. Who am I? Be here for days. I'm complex.
We ask the hard questions on this show.
Who am I? Okay. Reader's Digest version. I was born and raised in London, England, raised in Vancouver, Canada. I'm currently living in London, England. My background is that I worked in corporate life for 20 years. I now have my own company called Itopia Coaching and Consulting, and I am a mindset coach, and I specialize in coaching and teaching on emotional intelligence, corporate burnout, anxiety, and depression. And I also, to your point, have just started my own podcast about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, called Bootcamp for the Mind and Soul. To the point of your question, why did I create the podcast? We live in a society that sells perfection, perfect lives, perfect faces, instant millionaires overnight. There's constant ads on social media saying, you know, in 30 days, you can make 100 grand, and all of this kind of nonsense. It doesn't speak to me. And so roughly around December of last year, I thought, you know, I need to create the content that I'm looking for. Podcasts that I had been listening to seemed to be celebrities interviewing other celebrities. It just didn't interest me. And I thought, what really speaks to me is ordinary people like you and me who have fallen down but gotten back up again, and who have an inspiring story that are not selling me the perfect life, but are actually telling me the real life. Because to my knowledge, I don't think any of us are getting out of this unscathed. We've all had issues. So I thought, I'm going to create the content that I'm looking for. So I thought, I'll create Bootcamp for the Mind and Soul. I use the word bootcamp because my podcast is like going to the gym. You're not going to be able to pick up all the equipment. Some of it's not going to resonate with you. And that's okay. Pick up what you can and leave behind what you can't. And the very first episode was my story. This is me, warts and all. This is, you know, you think I've had a perfect life. Here's my real authentic truth. And then all of my guests subsequently since then have been telling a fearless story. And my aim of the podcast is to help and inspire people, so that even if they're not necessarily going through the same difficulty that my guests have gone through, they'll still relate to the human emotion behind it.
Right. And the stories that your guests share on the show are truly remarkable. The authenticity, the rawness of these stories, they don't seem to hold a lot back, which is a testament to the show.
You know? No. And that was when I filter people out. I don't go live. I interview everybody in advance because I want to make sure this is not a secret. You're going to sell me snake oil. You need to tell a fearless, authentic story. And hey, I'll hold your hand during it.
And because of your experience as a positivity mindset coach, it really helps to have someone next to them, kind of urging them on and rooting them on, yep, being the cheerleader. So I salute you for what you're doing. I think this is really needed in this world, especially these days. So then let's transition into what the audience to the show is probably most interested in, and that is those events, those inexplicable events that have happened in your life that we teased on the intro to the show. Right? How do you go from mindset coach to experiencing things within the spiritual world?
So I had a major breakdown in 2013, September 30th of 2013. You could literally draw a line down my life. I had been working on a contract. I worked for corporate America, one of the top 100 biggest Fortune 100 companies in America. And I'd been working on this $1.5 billion contract, 12 hours a day for an entire year, completely neglected my health and well-being, panic attacks, anxiety, depression hit for the next 18 months. Every single day I was having panic attacks, and I developed a fear of fear itself because the panic attacks were happening every day out of the blue for random triggers. I developed a fear of fear itself, and I sunk into a really, really deep depression. And I say it was my own private world of hell because externally it looked like I'd made it in life. I had this high profile job. I made lots of money, beautiful house, beautiful home, the sexy shoes and handbags and all the stuff that we're told that we should have in life. But inwardly, I was dying, not physically, but emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And I say that, you know, mentally I was depressed, spiritually I was stressed, yet physically I smiled. I didn't have a God. I didn't have a religion. In fact, if anything, I had a real issue with the word God. And my background of that is that I was born and raised to be a Catholic, two parents that have no religion, but they were immigrants to Canada. I was a young baby when they immigrated to Canada. My parents sent me to a Catholic school, a private education, because my parents' background is they come from a poor background. And so immigrating to Canada, they wanted to give me the best education they possibly could. They didn't want me to have the education that they'd had. And so they thought, send me to a private school, to a Catholic school. Again, they don't have any religion. They weren't Catholics at all, but they wanted to give me a good education. Catholic school was horrific for me. My parents divorced when I was very young. It was the 70s, so I'm 47 now. It was the 70s when they divorced. In the Catholic faith, divorce is very much frowned upon, and definitely it was back in the 70s. And so I was persecuted at school. I was banned from going to the church. So when my classmates were going to church every day in the mornings and the evenings, I wasn't allowed to go. In the classroom, I was continuously told that I was going to go to hell because my parents were divorced. And so I developed throughout my entire life a fear of God. For me, God was a scary white dude in the sky that was going to just take me out at any moment for being a sinner. And so fast forward to now, 2013, and I've got 18 months of panic attacks and anxiety and depression, and I've got no God. I've got nobody to ask for help. I don't share my story externally. My mom and my husband knew, but nobody else knew. I didn't tell my story of the private world of hell I was going through because I didn't think I had a right to go through my mental health challenges because I compared and contrasted my life to other people's. And so I invalidated myself. I'd say, well, I have no right to be going through these mental health challenges because there's rape, there's war, there's genocide, there's homelessness, there's opioid crisis. And so by not sharing my story or asking for help, and by invalidating myself, and by developing a fear of fear itself, I shrunk my world. I went from a passionate, outgoing, friendly person to I didn't really want to leave the house. Or if I did, I shrunk my world. I'd literally go to work, have panic attacks in the office cubicles, fake it, pretend everything was fine, and then go home. And because I had this intense fear inside all the time, because I didn't know when panic attacks were going to happen, I retreated to an inner world. And that inner world ultimately led me to explore, why am I in so much pain? Why am I having these mental health challenges? And it also led me to explore God, because I thought, Claire Rogers was not born into this world to come here, experience a lot of trauma in her childhood, then get this high-profile corporate job, make lots of money, and then die. that cannot be the meaning of life. And so I started exploring God, and I had to dip my toe in it. I didn't want anything to do with Catholicism, Christianity, or anything like that. I didn't want anything to do with organized religion. And so I found myself exploring spirituality, and I started exploring Buddhism, for example, because Buddhism is a philosophy. It's not a religion. It's about kindness and compassion. I read a book that I think I heard Oprah Winfrey talking about actually at the time that truly changed my life. And it's called Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav. I love this book. And for me, it was the first time in life that I feel as though my soul calmed down, if that makes sense.
It does.
Because it helped me understand the meaning of suffering. So it helped me to heal the trauma that I had gone through as a child, and helped me to realize, and again, it's my own personal take on this. Not everybody's going to believe what they read in the book, but it helps me understand karma, for example. So the basic premise of this book is that perhaps some of us were born with a karmic debt, and perhaps we have to go through trauma in order to clear that karmic debt and use that trauma to help people. So for the first time, I started to understand the meaning of life and the meaning of suffering. And in particular, it helped me to understand why I had gone through what I'd gone through in my past. So I finished that book. Then I started getting into meditating, and I started to cut out the noise in my life. And as I did this, and as I started healing from the panic attacks and anxiety and depression, something extraordinary happened to me. So right when I was in the heart of the daily panic attacks, the daily depression, the I don't see the point of living. I wasn't suicidal, but I was just so depressed. I don't understand what the meaning of life is. I got some really bad news. And the bad news was that a friend of mine, one of my best friends back in Vancouver, Canada, years prior, had died of a heroin overdose. And I found out years later, because I'm a Gen Xer, and so we weren't raised with the internet and so forth. We used to do snail mail. So that's how the news hit me later than I would have liked to have found out. Getting that news that my friend died of the heroin overdose enraged me. It made me so angry. And it's because I couldn't make sense of it. It was not like a quote unquote normal death. Not that a death is normal, but I mean normal death in the sense that there's a stigma of someone dying of heroin. And when I went through that grief, I oscillated between extreme sadness and love of my friend that died. And the very next day, extreme rage. I would be so angry and pissed off at him because I can't believe he went down that path. He was such a good person. You wouldn't even guess that he would get into heroin. It was so off the mark. And I would rage at him. And I did this for like 6 months, this crushing grief that I'm in. I've also got panic attacks and I've got depression. Anyway, about 6 months into this rage of grief, I go to bed one night and I must have been thinking about him. And I was in a raging day. I had just been raging at him all day in my mind. And I feel guilty because I'm raging at someone who's dead. So I've gone to bed and I'm obviously raging. And my emotions are heightened anyway because I'm having panic attacks and anxiety and depression. And I don't understand the meaning of life. And I go to bed and I'm consciously aware I woke up in the middle of the night. And it's going to sound crazy, but I'm going to say it anyway. I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw my friend. I saw him and he was, so I didn't see him as I know him as a human being, but I saw him as a golden light, most euphoric, golden, loving light I have ever seen. There's no actual human words to describe what I saw. And the feeling that I felt was this intense, pure love that I have never, ever, ever felt before in my life. And I felt him. So although my eyes were closed, no doubt in my mind, he was there. And I felt him embrace me in this warm love. I there's no human words to describe what I felt. And I heard him say to me, I'm okay. And you don't need to worry about me. It's all good. It's all good. And it was such an amazing, warm feeling of love. I must have drifted off to sleep. The next day, I felt euphoric. I could feel the anxiety and depression lifting because I'd felt this feeling of euphoria so intensely in the night that I could almost see something on the other side of this life. Mm. I had that dream every single day for 6 days.
Did you really?
To the point where I was looking forward to going to bed, because literally every night I woke up to that feeling of this pure euphoric love. And he kept saying to me, I'm okay. You don't need to worry about me. It's all good. Be happy. And again, it's the golden light, and it's this intense feeling of love.
Just to clarify, you're saying that your friend came to you for 6 days straight.
Mm-hmm. In my dream. I don't know if you call it a dream, a visitation, a visualization. I'm not sure. I've had some people say, Claire, you imagined it. No chance on earth I imagined it, because those feelings and what I saw was so intense.
Right.
But it got to the point that after like 6 days, I was thinking, well, this is not good, Claire, because now you're just excited to go to bed. you're not actually enjoying your day. Not that I had been enjoying my days anyway, because I had the anxiety and depression.
Sure.
But I was looking forward to go to bed because I felt this intense love. So on the seventh night, I remember saying, I saw the visitation again, and I felt this extreme bathing of love. And I remember saying in my dream, I know you're okay, and I know you're safe, and you don't have to come back and visit me anymore. And I've never had the dream since.
Wow. So first, let me say that the word crazy is not allowed on this show, right?
Okay, cool.
everybody who's listening in either has had experiences or wants those experiences, or at least is open-minded enough to listen to the stories and not be judgy.
Okay, good.
Right. We've had people on the show before that have spoken specifically about communicating with the folks that have passed over. And regular listeners will know that most of the people that come on the show believe strongly, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that there is something beyond this three-dimensional world. Right?
Yes.
My next intuitive question is, I read up on you, and I do know that earlier on in your life, you had an encounter that was quite scary. I'm talking about the grizzly bear.
Yes.
So I'm curious, some of the people that I've talked to have said that the folks that undergo a traumatic experience, like your encounter with a bear or your constant anxiety attacks and your life-changing, debilitating depression, tend to find themselves vibrating at a different energy level, which opens them up to things like this. Is that something that you think could potentially have happened? Or what's your stance on something like that?
100%, because you know what? The encounter with the grizzly bear was exactly 30 days before my first panic attack.
Interesting.
Literally 30 days before. And I believe now, I didn't at the time, because now I have a spiritual foundation, but I believe that was my encounter with that grizzly bear was God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, whacking me over the head to say, wake up. You are sleepwalking through your life. Wake up. And I didn't listen to that sign. And so the sign got even worse 30 days later, and I had the panic attacks that then led into anxiety and depression for 18 months. And now I say that was the worst period of my life, but the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm so glad I listened to the signs, because what if I didn't listen to the signs? Would it have turned into a stroke or a heart attack?
Right. There are some schools of thought that feel that someone undergoes the life lessons again and again, and possibly worse. There's a story that someone told me once that God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, sends you lessons. And the first time it sends you a lesson, sends you a lesson, it will be a tap on the shoulder. Hey, I need you to learn this. If you don't learn it, the next time it'll be a more sudden shove. Hey, I need you to listen. And with each subsequent attempt at getting us to learn these lessons, each one will be harder and harder and harder. So speaking to your comment. Now, before we get too much further down, maybe you could share what happened with the grizzly bear with our audience, since they may not be aware of what happened.
Yeah, certainly. So I was in Banff, Alberta in Canada. So as I say, I'm Canadian. And so living in London, England, I make sure I get home every few months. And so I was with my husband at the time, and I'm really into the great outdoors. I was raised in the great outdoors. So I said to him, look, I want to take the gondola to the top of Sulphur Mountain, and then it's a 15-kilometer hike down the back of the mountain. So let's do that. I grew up in the mountains. I'm bear aware. I'm very aware of animals. We were taught about this as a kid. In growing up in Canada, this is normal.
So bear aware. I love that.
We're very bear aware. And so we're hiking down this mountain and he's chatting to me as normal. He's an Englishman, so he's not used to, you know, being aware of bears or any other animals. You know, the worst thing they've got over here is a badger. So we're hiking down this mountain and I'm chatting to him, but I'm also looking around at my surroundings. I'm looking at the ground for bear scat. I'm looking for huckleberries. I am constantly on the lookout for animals. It's not just bears. It's cougars. It's all sorts of things. I'm constantly aware of it. We finish the 15 kilometers, get down to the back of the mountain, and there's a sign that says, if you turn to your right, it's 2 kilometers to Banff, to the town center. Or if you turn to your left, in 3 kilometers, you're going to see the waterfalls at Sundance Canyon. I thought, wow, let's go see the waterfalls. So we've already done 15K. We might as well do another 3. So we start walking along. We bump into another couple and we're just chatting away. I should also say I've got bear bells as well that are attached to my rucksack. So bear bells, they sound like jingle bells that you hear outside of the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically to warn the bears. So, and it's annoying to listen to them. It's annoying, but you have to do it for safety. So I've got my bear bells jangling away. We're talking to this other couple and the track becomes a single file. So it becomes the gentleman that we bumped into, my husband, me, and then the lady that's with that gentleman. And we're just walking along, having a little chat. And next to us is a stream and I can hear waterfalls. I can't see them. And we come walking around this corner and this great big, huge 380 kilo, which I think is roughly about 600 and some odd pounds, bear comes charging towards us. I instantly know it's a grizzly because of the hump on the back, comes charging towards us. The guy in front of my husband just runs. My husband turns around and runs. And my instinct, and this is strange to say, it all happened probably in a 15 or 20 second window, but it's amazing what your brain can tune into in 15 or 20 seconds.
No doubt.
As my husband starts running, my instinct is grab him, don't run, because I'm remembering what I remember in school. So in school, we were taught brown, stand your ground, as in a brown bear. Brown, stand your ground. Black, as in a black bear, black, fight back. And grizzly, there's no rhyme for the grizzly.
Say goodbye.
Yeah, there's no rhyme for the grizzly. But I know don't run. I know don't run. So I grab my husband. I don't know where that other dude is. I have no idea. I don't even know where the girl is. But I've got my husband. He's facing the other way. I'm facing the bear. He's maybe 3 or 4 meters away on hind legs, so way taller than me, and I can feel the breath. And so I'm holding my husband and I'm whispering, don't run or we're dead. We need to slowly back away. And I start talking to the bear and I'm saying, I love animals. I'm not here to hurt you, honey, because again, I'm a spiritual person, I think probably by nature. I just know, try and speak calmly, maybe the bear will pick up on my energy. So we back away slowly, and as we slowly back away, the bear mock charge me. Just a couple of steps, mock charge, that hump is coming towards me. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm gonna chuck my husband and I off this cliff, because I'd rather us die that way than him get us.
Right.
As I'm thinking that, I think, just take a couple more steps back, Claire. So we take a couple more steps back and the bear just looks at us and lets us go. And then when we get a safe distance, we gunned it. I'm a marathoner. Oh my God. Like I was like Usain Bolt. I was like, whoa.
Suddenly you became a sprinter.
We became a sprinter and we got away. And I said to my husband, okay, we got to go find a forest ranger. I need to report the bear because this is on a path. And God forbid if a family comes on this path and there's kids and the kids run in front of the parents, I don't even want to think about it. So I went and reported it to the forest ranger, who said to me, well, will you come with me and show me where the bear is? And I said, okay, do you have a gun? And he said, oh no, you know, in Alberta, we're not allowed to have guns. We're not allowed to shoot the animals. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm good. He's up there. I'm not coming with you, but I, you know, he's up there. And he said, okay, will you wait for me? So I waited and the forest ranger went and then came back about 10 minutes later and said, okay, yeah, the bear is still there. And I said, I don't understand why the bear didn't run away. I had the bear bells going. Like, I don't understand why the bear didn't run. And he said, well, Claire, he didn't run because he was eating a black bear. He'd killed a black bear and was eating it. And so you interrupted his dinner and your Bear Bells was like the ice cream man coming around the corner. So they cordoned off the area for, I think it was 10 days. His name is Bear122. They collared him. He's got a collar on him now. I get regular updates on him. He since has survived being hit by a train. This bear is famous now.
So you're forever intertwined with this bear.
Completely. And you know what? The very next day, I said to my husband, we need to go out and go hiking. I did another, I think, 24 kilometers the next day because I didn't want to develop a fear. Because I thought if I run into another grizzly bear, I need to buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
The chances of running into a grizzly is so rare. You know?
Right. So we've had Shaman on the show who probably would say it sounds like a grizzly bear might be your spirit animal. Because it kind of launched your vibrational engagement, right? Possibly. You know, who knows?
It was my warning sign. Like, you need to wake up. And I didn't wake up. I didn't wake up at all. But the panic attacks 30 days later, literally 30 days to the day, woke me up.
Wow. Wow. So we talked about the bear. We talked about your 6 days of visitations by your friend. You mentioned that helped ease your depression and your anxiety moving forward. Was that a catalyst to making you all better? Have there been other incidents that have...
I've had quite a few incidents since then. It literally, after those visitations, the panic attacks, anxiety and depression lifted within a couple of months. Now, in parallel, I was also working on myself. I was reading hundreds of books on spirituality, mindset. I took child psychology courses. I was basically healing myself. So in parallel, I was healing all of the trauma I had gone through as a kid. I had released it all. And once I can now very comfortably talk about the trauma of my childhood, and I feel zero pain whatsoever. I've definitely released all of that. And once I released all of that, I then quit corporate life. I started my own business, because I think once you go through a traumatic experience of thinking you're losing your marbles, which is what I thought I was doing when I was going through my mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. Once that happens, once you have a visitation from your friend and you feel that pure euphoric love, for me anyway, I realized that I was not living a life of purpose, that Claire Rogers had not been brought to Earth to experience a traumatic childhood, work corporate life, collect stuff and die. I realized the meaning of life. And for me, the meaning of life was to help people. And so I think once I healed all of that trauma and got to the point where I'm very comfortable speaking about my past, it opened up some new vibrational awareness. I guess I'm more in tuned. So something that happens to me quite often, I don't even know how to describe this. I've tried Googling it. Some people have described it, but not to the same way as me. But somebody the other day I talked to said, actually, this happens to me too. Sometimes what happens to me, I'd love to be able to tell you I can cultivate it on a daily basis, but it happens randomly. I can walk into a room and I can see what looks like rain. It looks like shimmering rain. And I'd love to tell you it's because I've done this amazing deep meditation session and that's what got me in. No, usually sometimes, you know, I meditate quite a bit. I'll be honest, some days I've got amazing meditation sessions. Other days I get nothing. Nothing whatsoever. I would love to tell you I've done some amazing meditation and that's why I see this, what I call now energy, what looks like rain. I'd love to say that I've done something to cultivate it. No, it just randomly happens. The other thing that happens is sometimes I can see energy off of things. So I remember, I think it was last year, I went for a run. I'm a marathoner. It wasn't a particular long run. I think I'd only done 5 miles, which for a marathoner is not very much. Right. And came home and I grabbed a glass of water and I grabbed a banana and I went and sat outside on my terrace and just eating my banana, minding my own business. And I looked over at my trees, I had pine trees, and I could see the energy off of them.
When you see the rain, is it just general environmental thing or is it attached to a person or an object?
No, it's just environmental. It looks like I've literally walked into my office, or it happened the other day, actually, walking into my kitchen. It just looks like rain, faint rain, almost like crystals.
And what do you think that is? What's your theory?
Well, I've done a lot of Dr. Google, and Google is not helping me out there. So the first couple of times I was like, need to get their eyes checked.
Right.
No, now I'm starting to think, I believe I'm operating on a different level. Mm-hmm. I think I'm opening up to perhaps another field, and perhaps that's what it is. And so initially I was really curious and I want the answers to this and so forth. Now I'm like, because I'm not actively cultivating it, it's just showing up whenever it feels like showing up. I'm just going to embrace it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And what I've also noticed, something happens as well, which is my favorite thing that happens. Again, love to actively cultivate it, and perhaps I need to see somebody to do this. I could be sitting there minding my own business, watching TV, watching a movie, not even doing anything to cultivate my spirituality, and I feel a buzzing feeling opening up in my chest all the way down to my belly button, and it's like this warm, cozy vibration that I feel, and it's a buzzing sensation. It feels like it's a vibration. And it feels euphoric. It feels amazing. Wow. So I think that worst period of my life, the 18 months in 2013, was God, the universe, divine spirit, whatever you want to call it, showing me a way to clear out the trauma so that I could perhaps become multisensory.
Right. Yeah. It's astounding how many people I speak to that express that same sentiment, that they had to go through these traumatic events to open themselves up to the other possibilities out there.
Yeah,
it surprises me, however, that it was such a light switch, right? Typically, it happens more gradually over time. And I can only speak for myself, really. Yeah. My interest in the spiritual has existed since I was in my 20s, and I'm a lot older than that now. It's ebbed and flowed, but it's always been constant there. It wasn't until I was forced to face the mistakes or the blindness that I was living under in a forced way that I was able to then devote myself to finding out really how can I make myself better and what tools are out there to make that happen. So we've spoken to people who are psychics or your mediums or channelers, people who are Reiki healers. We've spoken to people who practice witchcraft, people who own metaphysical bookstores and talk about auras and crystals and all that kind of stuff. But almost everyone has said their story was an evolving one. It almost, I mean, it almost seems like a light switch was pulled. And that's amazing, because
it was a light switch. However, for me personally, it's not going fast enough. So it was a light switch. I'm seeing some cool rain/crystals. Sometimes I can see energy on trees. Right. I sometimes feel the warm buzzing feeling in my tummy. I'm like, but why can't I feel this every day, all day long? And I'm doing all the right things. I'm meditating. I say my prayers every night. I don't have a God that I believe in, but I say my prayers of gratitude every day. I send out universal love every single day. I try to be a good person. And I'm like, come on, God, or whoever you are, show me more. And so for me, for you, it might sound like a light switch. For me, I'm impatient. I'm like, I want more of the good stuff.
Yeah. And I can understand that. I think the only words of wisdom I can provide on this is that there are people who have been trying to speed up their spiritual evolution for, some people would say, lifetimes. So it's perfectly understandable when someone starts feeling it for the first time to say, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm in that group as well. But I do feel, I didn't know you before your trauma, but what I can speak to today is what I feel from you. And I'm feeling that you are truly a kind, loving soul who is well on her way to that spiritual evolution that we're all striving towards. And I'm not sure if you know Dr. Wayne Dyer or Conversations with God. Okay. Me too. The messaging that we get with those teachers has always been, when we're ready to evolve, we become more conscious of being in service to others.
Yes.
It's in service to others that we are able to reach where we want to go, which is remembering that we are part of the universal all, right? We are part of God. Mm-hmm. We are all in this together. And when we pass, we go back home to this all-encompassing all. It's the best way to put it. So I feel you're doing that with your podcast, and not just with your podcast, but I mean, I feel that from you just as a person. And I know that personally, I know that you're going through some traumatic events currently in your life, which
I'm happy to talk about that if you want to bring it up. I don't mind.
Okay. Well, so it just so happens that I do know that Claire, unfortunately, is undergoing a divorce currently. And that, I'm sure, just adds to the stress and the trauma, which then kind of keeps your vibrational rate at a certain point. So any fear that once the stress of the divorce is past, you will come back down to earth for?
No. Because if anything, so my divorce is new, it's my choice, but it's still hard because I've hurt my husband. Sure. And it's only 2 months old so far. So I've gone through a lot of guilt, which is a useless emotion, but I can't help it. I'm going through a lot of guilt, a lot of questioning of myself as to why I allowed certain things to happen to me and so forth. So I'm definitely in the crux of chaos. However, when I'm in the crux of the chaos and there's been a lot of tears and a lot of pain and a lot of confusion, when I'm in the crux of it and it's really, really bad pain, I feel an intuition deep inside me that is telling me it's gonna be okay. And I can't go into full details here, but some people have been brought into my life recently that I know have been brought into my life for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I believe they've been brought into my life by God, the universe, whatever you want to call it. They're my catalysts. They're my people going forward that will propel me to the next level. And sometimes I have doubt as to why a certain person has been brought into my life and think, you know, why has this person been brought into my life? And my intellectual mind brings fear to the table. And when that fear comes to the table, you know, the most amazing thing is I subscribe to a couple of people like the Wayne Dyers. I know he's since passed away, but people similar to him. I subscribe to some newsletters from people like him. I listen to an app called Calm, and there's some daily inspiration that pops up. And when I'm in the crux of that fear of why has so-and-so been brought into my life and has this person been brought into my life for a reason, as that doubt happens, I get an email from one of these newsletters that literally answers that question. I got one the other day. Literally, I was in a complete doubt as to what was going on in my life with a certain person. And I got an email literally from a newsletter to say, don't doubt what's happening in your life. It's for a reason. So for me, some people would say, oh, it's coincidental. For me, I'm like, no, it's a sign. It's a sign.
When you open yourself up for signs, signs are really everywhere. We just have to look for them, right? God speaks to us in the songs we listen to or the books we read or the articles we stumble upon or the people we happen to be introduced to randomly. So first, I salute you for recognizing that. Now, the skeptical side of what I do has to ask those questions that people out there listening are going, right? So I have to ask, especially when we're talking about the rain and the energy from the trees and things like that. It sounds like a psychedelic trip that you're undergoing, right? So the question has to be, could you be tapping into chemicals in your body that are likening themselves to an acid trip? Same thing that touches your brain when you're on acid could potentially be happening to you naturally. Is that something that you've thought of?
I've never thought about it. And that's cool if people want to think it. But, you know, that's cool. Maybe it is. I like the feeling. I like seeing the rain. I like that feeling inside. If it's not God and it's just my brain doing something, okay. Right. You know, I'm cool with someone being skeptical to it. You know, I told someone once about the visitations from my friends, and this person said to me, Claire, you're completely imagining it. It never happened. And I remember thinking, okay, I can let someone invalidate me, or I can believe in the quiet knowing and intuition inside that's telling me it's real. And so I'm completely happy for someone to doubt me. That's totally cool. None of my business. But I'm gonna hold fire to my intuition that's telling me it's something real.
Right. Well, I salute you for that. I think that at the very end of the day, if it helps us to feel better or to be a better person, so be it, right? Whatever it might be. Where do you go from here? What's your next step now that you've opened yourself up to these possibilities and you're experiencing these euphoric feelings and these visitations? What's next for Claire Rogers?
A couple of things. So first, I need to calm down my personal life. Because I know I can't do anything with the spiritual stuff at the moment because I've got so much going on in my personal life.
Sure.
I'm hoping that will all kind of calm down in the next month or so. My intention And I've been praying to the universe on this, and I believe I've got my answer. My intention is I want to go live in Palm Springs, California. So I won't say the word crazy, but it was not unusual to some people. There's some places you can go in the world and feel like you belong. And something happens to me when I go to the desert. When I go to Sedona, for example, or Arizona, or I go to the Mojave Desert, or I go to Palm Springs, California, I feel as though it's like a vortex or something. My soul calms down and I can just breathe. So once my personal life calms down and I can leave the United Kingdom, my plan is to go move to Palm Springs, California, and just breathe and calm down. I will continue with my podcast, my business, because I'm living a life of purpose. I 100% I want that. And then I think what I will do once I have calmed down and my mental state is relaxed and the guilt and all of those emotions that are not serving me or have dissipated, I want to find someone. I don't know what their names are or what their title is. Is it a shaman? Is it, I don't know. I want to meet someone who can help me cultivate what I'm seeing and feeling.
Right.
Are they able to give me the tools to cultivate it? Perhaps not. I don't know. But I'm going to tap into the universe, which is what I tend to lean towards, calling God. I call it like universal spirit.
Sure.
For me, because the word God for me has connotations for it still. So I say universal spirit. So I believe that universal spirit will send to me the right person at the right time to help me cultivate what I'm feeling.
Right.
I have to not be impatient with it because my time scale is, can you show up a week on Monday? You know, I can make myself available.
Right.
But perhaps that's not my destiny. Maybe it'll be 6 months from now or a year from now, but I'm open to it. I'm open to anybody who goes through experiences like this.
Well, you just mentioned it not long ago. Your personal life right now is a bit chaotic, probably not quite the mindset wise to be able to move forward with something like this. And that old cliche saying, right? When the student is ready, the teacher will come.
Yes. Yes.
There you have it. So two things really quickly. First, when you speak about Sedona, that's a whole other conversation, because one of the things I've in my studies, my explorations, Sedona has come up again and again and again because of energy vortexes that apparently they live on, I guess Sedona's on Lee lines.
Okay.
Which apparently make that a hotbed of vortex energies that anyone who goes to Sedona and is open to these energies will absolutely feel them. I've never been dying to go, but I've heard a lot of folks that go say the same thing. People that I respect highly have said that they've gone to Sedona and they felt the vortex energies. So that's the first. Second, I'm curious. Have you ever had a past life regression?
No, never. And in fact, some friends have said to me, you know, you should try that.
Yeah,
I'm open to it. I wouldn't even have a clue where to find someone to help me do that.
Well, I can connect you with someone if you're interested. But everybody that I've spoken to about past life regressions have that affinity for a place or a thing or something that out of the ordinarily attracts them, like the desert for you.
Yeah,
I would
happily to do it, because I kind of joke around with the trauma I went through as a kid. I'm like, I must have been a real shit in the previous
life. Speaking of karmic dick, well, for what it's worth, I will tell you, you really are truly, you come across as a very kind soul. I love your energies. They're very, very loving, very relaxing, very authentic. And there's very few people that carry that around. So I'm
thank you.
Thankful to have met you at the very least. I think that we've spoken about a lot. I think we probably could speak to a lot more. And I think at this point, the conversation would probably turn more towards an actual conversation between the two of us, comparing notes and things like that. Yeah. If there's one final thought that you want to make sure that our listeners really get from your story, what would that be?
Trust your gut and your intuition. I should have done that from a kid, but for whatever reason, I was taught to invalidate my gut and my intuition. And so then I did it as an adult. So, you know, when you get that intuition that tells you something's not right, or don't do something, or don't trust someone, or don't proceed with something, I think a lot of us invalidate that because we think that other people know better. And I now look back and think, my goodness, if I had listened to that gut instinct, that intuition a lot sooner, I probably wouldn't have had to get to that stage of panic attacks, anxiety, depression. And so that's what I would say. Don't let somebody else invalidate what you are feeling inside.
Claire, you are speaking right to my soul. I know exactly what you're talking about. So thank you for that. Now, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, whether it's for your mindset coaching or reach out to you personally, how would you invite someone to do that?
Absolutely. So go to my website, which is Itopia Coaching. Itopia spelled I-T-O-P-I-A coaching.com. All of my contact details are on there. All of my social media handles are on Itopia Coaching. You can connect with me on Facebook. I got nothing to hide on there. And connect with me. I love to connect with people. And also, please listen to my podcast, Bootcamp for the Mind and Soul, because my goal, it's a big, hairy, audacious goal. I want to get 1 million subscribers within the next year, because I keep thinking, imagine what the ripple effect that will be of all the people helping people.
Absolutely.
That's my goal in life.
Yep. It's going to come a point where we reach a tipping point in this world where, and I've spoken to people that say we are in a transition right now, mm-hmm. which is why yeah. so many people are willing to open up about their stories and help each other with their challenges and struggles and things like that. So bravo.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So much for coming on the show. It was an absolute pleasure meeting you. I hope we remain in contact because really, I truly enjoyed our conversation. So thanks again.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening today. You can find Claire's podcast, Bootcamp for the Mind and Soul, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. You can also, as she mentioned, visit her website, itopiacoaching.com, where she has the episodes actually embedded. Now, I'll put direct links to those in my show notes for you, so it'll be easy for you to find her. If you'd like to connect with her, I've also laid in direct links to her social media platforms there. As always, don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. Don't forget, you can send me a voice message on SpeakPipe. I'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, or feedback on the show or the guests. And I love sharing people's stories and would love to share yours too. So please feel free to reach out if you'd like to come on the show. You can join me on Facebook at The Skeptic Metaphysician or email me directly. That address, along with the links to my social media platforms and SpeakPipe access, are all in the show notes as well. Last thing, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I sincerely appreciate you throwing the show a 5-star rating and leave a review if you like the show. It takes no time at all, and it will go a long way towards getting the show in front of more people who might benefit from hearing the stories we share on the show. That's all for now. Thanks again for listening in. We'll see you again on the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Until then, take care.